Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo, and hello. Swelcome. Swelcome? Smarvelous. Swelcome. How are you today? I hope everything is well and you are doing great. It's awfully good to see you. Hello, Joe. Hey, welcome. Joe's my old friend. I mean, not that he's old. I mean, I'm old, so he's the same age, so we're both old. And Joe is here, and I've known Joe for a very, very long time. And Renee, welcome to the room. And all of you listening, if you can come on in, all you have to do is go to YouTube at moabdelbaki.com. Pardon me scratching my eye. And how do you spell that? The usual way. I'm kidding. It's A-B-D-E-L-B-A-K-I with a Mo in front. No E, just M-O. And you'll come right here to the YouTube room where I am and where you are. And Pamela, welcome to the room. We're going to have some fun today. I think it's going to be fun. I'm hoping it's going to be fun and not tedium. I am not a happy guy with tedium. It's going to be, I think, an interesting subject. We're going to talk about what tarot is and what it isn't. Not pointing to anything in particular, so don't get any weird ideas. Today is November the 19th of 2025. November the 19th. Almost the end of the year. How's that happen? Well, every day follows another. Like a mala. I'm feeling like a mala. Not that I feel like I'm a mala, but I'm just feeling like I Ching stuff. I'm feeling like a mala. Let me see here. What have I got? Not that one. This one? No, not that one. This one? No, not that one. Do I have enough malas? Never enough malas. Do I want this one? No, not this one. Do I want that one? Okay, I'll take this one. This one's close, and I'm taking up a lot of time trying to find a mala. Here's a mala. This will do. I was looking for the one my mom made for me that I had to restring. It's heavy. And this one's made of tiny beads. Tiny, tiny beads. I like to run a mala. I've got a Bodhi seed mala here somewhere on this desk. There could be a lot of things somewhere on this desk, and I wouldn't see it. Here's my son. You want to meet my son? This is my son, Zach. There he is. Looks just like him. And here is my daughter, Sarah. Here's Sarah. There, see? There she is, right there. That's her. That's her. So there you are. Now you've met them. They gave me those a couple of years ago for Father's Day. And I love them. I love them. So, yeah, how you doing? So, tarot, what it is and what it is not. Say, Joe, do you use a mala? Anne, bonjour and bienvenue. Good to see you. So good to see you. And welcome to the room. Christina, I don't know if you're listening yet, but if you are, nice to see you too. So welcome. The more the merrier. Come on in. Because if you have questions about what Tarot is and what it taint, then we'll get to that. I'll be happy to answer your questions. There's a benefit to being in the room, and that is you get to interact with me. I have the chat room situated so I can see it, and I usually notice when something changes on it. So, yeah. So I realized just yesterday that I have been dealing with Tarot now for 60 years. 60 years. Yeah. I sent away for my first deck when I was 10 years old in 1964. There was an ad in the back of a comic book. This deck of Tarot cards, and it wasn't very expensive. And so I did just that. But we moved. And I didn't make any money because I wasn't employed yet. I didn't have a job. My job was to be 10 in the fourth grade, and I mowed the lawn. And we had a hand mower, and we lived in a duplex at that time. Didn't live out where I met you, Joe, when it didn't go there yet, and lived out on West Prospect at that time. And in duplexes. And so it was a different area. Went to more school, as a matter of fact. I found this in a comic book. And I said, well, I've always wanted a deck of these cards. And so I did not know. I was going to fish out the cards and my first deck, which I still have, and my second deck, which I still have, in pretty good shape, I will say. And my first book, which I still have in pretty good shape, I will say. The day was a busy one. It got away from me. So as I will say. But I'll do that someday. I'll show you my first deck, my second deck. I'll show you my first Crowley deck, which is in pretty good shape, I will say. And I'll show you a brand new version of that first deck, which I have. One that has hardly ever been used. I should auction that thing off because it's in incredible condition, brand new, beautiful, beautiful, terrible printing, blurry and so on. I've got all these things that I still have. I'm actually going to start selling some things that I have just because I'm getting old and this stuff is sitting around and I know my kids don't want to deal with it. And some of it is actually probably worth a bit of a penny. So it's hard. It's a hard thing to think about. I'm going, I'm going to get rid of that. Well, I suppose I might as well. Some of the stuff I haven't looked at, like... some of the books I have, one on sacred geometry that I ordered about 40 years ago and have had it, and I read parts of it, and I thought, okay, and I've had it, and it's very rare, extremely rare. Joe says, yes, one of 108. I've got one of those. I've got a Bodhi seed one and a circle of 22 beads. Visualize the 108 going through the circle of 22. Ah, God, whatever you have. Visualize the 108 going through the circle of 22 beads, the 22 representing the letters of the Aramaic Hebrew alphabet. That's fascinating, fascinating. Well, here's one for you. Hang on just a second here. I've got the one that I carry with me all the time, except when I'm not wearing my going outdoors britches. There we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. 37. 37 times 3, because I go around 3 times. 3 times 9, 3 is 121. And that's kind of think this one is 37. And so it's kind of a fascinating. No, it's 111. I'm sorry. it's 111. And so you get kind of a it's an off sort of number. I've never seen a mala, a set of beads. This is technically a tesbih, or a misbaha, but tesbih. And these are lovely beads. Maybe I'll just stick with this one. I like the bigger beads today. So there we are. Like me, you have difficult time taking it with you when you go. Yeah, the big beads I used to carry around, these big old lapis beads my mom made me. Boy, have to be almost 50 years ago, maybe close to 45. And she strung them up for me and gave them to me, and eventually the string broke, and I restrung them, and a little bit differently. So she had them strung like this, and I strung them in a circle one, and I call it the mother mala, and reminds me of her. I've spoken of her, and I've spoken of the fact that she and I had trouble, but we loved each other very, very much. And that's as it should be, you know, should be. I was talking about Thoreau, I think, and about what Thoreau meant to me when I was young. To me, I saw Thoreau on TV, and it was a representation of everything that I didn't see in society. So by the time I was 10, and I saw then in the back of a book, of a comic book or whatever it was, that you could get a deck of tarot cards for $3.50, I think, and 50 cents mailing, so $4, or maybe it was $5. I don't remember that anymore. Whew, age is, you know, it's like someone takes a little eraser into your brain and just starts to, you know. So what happened there was that I said, I've got to have this deck of cards. And it's an ancient Egyptian deck. And first of all, there's one of my, what Thoreau is not. Thoreau is not Egyptian. Period. End of story. We'll get to that. So I sent away for those cards. And I, in the meantime, we moved. We moved out to a different neighborhood. My parents built a house, and it was a nice house. Nice house. Joe saw that house. Nice house. Nice area. And made his house poor, but, you know, that's okay. My dad was a college professor. And at any rate, so it had to find me. And so I didn't get that card, those cards, until the next summer. So I didn't forget about them ever. I'm waiting. Are they going to find me? Are they going to, you know? And I finally, one summer's day, apostrophe, they showed up. And I thought I was going to jump through my skin. I was so excited. And out came the Church of Light deck, which is in my closet, in a special box for tarot cards that I have. I have lots of decks. I wish I'd been collecting them long before I started. Man, there are some cool decks, you know. But we're going to talk about that too. So it's the Church of Light, I think, is what it's called. Benjamin Disraeli is the one. C.C. Zane is the name that he took to create this deck. And indeed, the character on the deck looks like he's ancient Egyptian, wearing kind of the kilt, and there are stars, you know, for the constellations. And at the age of 11, by the time I got it was the summer of that year, I had no idea what I was looking at, but I was ecstatic, just ecstatic. And I didn't know anything about Thoreau. I had not a clue, but these cards became very important to me, because I was looking at these cards. I didn't get a real this was a divination deck from the Brotherhood of Light. And decades later, I got the book that went along with the deck at a used bookstore. Found out that, of course, a lot of it was just not right as far as I knew Hermeticism to be, because tarot cards are part of the Hermetic study. So, they're cool, but not at all, but I loved them. And I didn't try doing anything with them. I would just look at them and try and figure out what it meant. Now, fast forward a couple of years to 1967, when I walked into the campus shop on the corner of College and Laurel Streets, College Avenue and Laurel. That was in Fort Collins, Colorado, which Joe also lived in. And 1967, of course, was the Summer of Love. And people call us baby boomers, but I prefer the love generation. Not everyone was a lover back then. I think you would understand that. There were people who didn't like anyone who thought differently. But I walked into that campus shop, and there, right there, boom, there was a section called Occult, and there was a deck of tarot cards, and that was the IJJ Swiss deck. Suisse. And that was the first deck that Stuart Kaplan of American Games, I think the company was, I don't remember, U.S. Games, got it, U.S. Games, that he imported into the United States for tarot. And he eventually became the guy, and his daughter took it over. I had a nice little email conversation with her when I created my deck, wondering if they wanted to handle my cards. I sent her pictures of my cards, and she was very nice, as she said, nah. No, not interested at all. Not interested at all. Because it's not conventional. They like conventional decks that follow the conventional tarot way of doing things. System of doing things. By the way, Joe, I'm going to start wearing beads. I think you already wear beads. I'm going to start wearing some beads again. I wore them for a while. And I think I may have embarrassed some people, if you know what I mean. I'm kind of ready to embarrass myself again, so, although I embarrass myself all the time. So these cards were $13.95, something to that effect. There was a book by Paupus, P-A-U-P-U-S, who was a French Martinist. His name was Gerard Encausse. And I met his grandson-in-law. He's a fellow, I'm not a Freemason, I don't think anymore, maybe, but nice guy. He's an alchemist, real honest to goodness puffer, which means he does the chemistry. The book was, I don't remember how much it is. I still have that book, by the way. I was looking for it earlier today. I couldn't find it. It's on my shelf somewhere. Now it's pressed for time. But I'll show that to you sometime. It's in amazing shape for being 60 years that I've owned it. 58 years. I exaggerate. So I bought that finally after chores of mowing this incredibly large yard. And all the other stuff that I did to make money and against the wishes of my mom, who was terrified that I was going to become some sort of lunatic and spend my adult life reading tarot and playing with yo-yos, which is what I ended up doing, you know. That deck, by the way, was, in fact, a tarot deck for playing the game tarot, which brings us to one of the most important things I can say, and that is tarot started out as a game. It did not start out as an oracle. Most things that we use as an oracle did not start out as an oracle. That's important to know. Now, the I Ching there is probably a bit of a diversion from that, although we use coins and stocks. But the I Ching itself is a poem. It's I think it's rhyming couplets or something to that effect. They don't rhyme in English, but, you know, and it's so old that a lot of people can't understand it because it's ancient Chinese. So it's like trying to read Chaucer. I don't know if you've ever tried to read Chaucer, but it's hard to understand if you try to read it in the old English, you know, words like knecht and epria, you know, that sort of thing. So it started out as a game. So it didn't start out as anything but it lends, these things lend themselves so well, like dice and dominoes and all of these things are in actuality games, but they can be used as tools for divination. Why? Because there is this really neat thing that happens in the universe, like cowrie shells, which you can toss, which I've done. And it's a fascinating, because there are stories connected to them. So you cast the shells, and if you know the stories, you have to know them pretty darn well. They're also just binary systems, which is what the I Ching is. And then there are the runes. The runes are an alphabet. But if you get into knowing what the runes are, and then there's the Om, which are trees. And if you understand what the trees are and how the trees basically, you know, what their personalities are. You know, I got to tell you, I've got a hedge, which is a volunteer hedge in my yard that was just up until this last couple of weeks was this huge, gnarly holly. And it's a volunteer. And I'd wanted something like that. It was this beautiful, because I named it Odin. Yeah, because it's just wonderful holly tree. And, I mean, things like that don't just happen all the time, you know. Just kapow, you know, just this. And it grows and grows. And between you and me, I don't think my neighbor appreciates it for what it is. And that is... Well, I'd hoped for it. I'd asked for it. I'd said, you know, I would love to have a holly, because hollies are such good luck, and they're so hardy. And do you know that they're a tree that if they're attacked, they'll change gender? Yeah, they'll change gender. It's a long story, but so there it was, and he apparently something was put on the tree. I'm not accusing, because he's a nice, these are nice people. But I don't think they like that hedge so much, you know? And so I said something to the, so it began to die. It was in January. And something had been put on it. I saw that being put on it. And I went out, and so I took my runes, and I took the runes and waved them over the holly, and I you know, did the thing, and that holly, which was brown and dying, came back. Now, I'm not saying I did it, but I'm also saying, and I think there was a lot of surprise, especially since they were watching me out there going, rawr, rawr, you know. It was just wild. And the wind came up, and it was freezing outside, and the wind came up, and it was blowing through my hair, and my beard was, you know, it was fantastic. You know, be crazy a little bit. Be crazy, you know, let it happen to you. Let the forces of nature make you wild sometimes. And that holly came back. And it was really going great. And then he got out there and he trimmed it all up. And I thought, what are you going to do? Trim my beard now? Stay away. Don't touch my beard. My beard is sacred. And so is this holly. But it looks okay. It really does look okay. You know. What is it with people and the wildness of nature? Oh, I really did mess it up there, but that's okay. I mean, you know, wow, Joe's saying he wears a string of 80 beads with a marker of my current age, and he moves the marker one bead on each birthday. That's pretty cool, Joe, but shouldn't it have 100 beads? Joe? Come on, man. I wouldn't, man, I've got one here with 108 beads, or 100 and some beads. How many are on here in this thing? I wear this. This is a model of Stonehenge. This is a model of Stonehenge doubled. So it's the Aubrey stones, which are 56, 28 and then 56, and 112. And then there's eight more. So I would wear this, and I would, you know, I'm optimistic. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but it's, I'm thinking more than 80, man. Because I, at least I'm optimistic of that. You know, I plan on being around for a while. And being a burden to my children. Yeah, bring that over here. You know. The white stones of Huna, yes. There are so many cultures, so many different kinds of wonderful, you see, Toro was one of them. So, number one, what do I write down here? They're just paper. The cards are just paper. There's nothing magical about the pictures themselves. There's nothing magical about the ink or anything else. Toro cards are just cardboard. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. And when you spill a cup of coffee or you spill a soft drink on your cards, you gotta buy new ones. You know, so trust me, I know. Luckily, I was doing all that in a bookstore where they sold them. So there were times when it was like, oh, crap. Pardon me. I've got a customer coming, and there it is. You know, there it is. But they're wonderful. Okay, it's still a game. It's a great game, by the way. You should look into that. It's a good game. And Pamela said, Magic Mo. Well, I hope so. We're all magic. We're all magic. Don't let anyone convince you that we're not. Don't let anyone convince you that we're not magic. Okay? Now, one thing about cards. I've never thrown away a deck of cards that I've used, and I've used a lot of decks of cards in my 60 years. So I have every deck of tarot cards that I've ever used. I've given one deck away, and that was to my daughter. My son didn't really want a deck, you know. I think he kind of thought, that's okay. It's all right. But my daughter did want one, and I gave her a deck, and she was very touched by that, and I she's got the gift, but she doesn't use it. She's in the real world, you know. And I do believe in the concept of psychometry. I used to teach a class in psychometry. Let me hold this watch. Let me hold this brooch. Let me hold this. And people would do it, and they'd get it. They'd know something about the person who had it. You know, you could feel it. You could feel it. If you want to feel something best, usually you hold it, if you are, let's say, right-handed, you hold it in the left hand. So here. You take this Oscar Mayer wiener whistle, and hold it in your left hand and tell me something. Oh, the guy who owned this or owns it is a kind of a dork. He saw the Weenie Whistle truck, the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, and he flipped out and had to pull into the parking lot and made a fool of himself and asked for a Wiener Whistle, and they gave it to him, and they were kind of astounded because he had to be in his early 60s, mid-60s, at the late 60s at the time. Yeah, and it was just weird. You see? And you take it in the left hand. You know, because we receive energy usually with the left hand. You will be blown away. Go to an antique store and don't worry about trying to find out if you're right or wrong. By the way, this works very well as a bosun's whistle. I've proven that a couple times in the old Paisley Penny Arcade radio show, which some of you are listening to on the radio, yeah. It works very well as a bosun's whistle. I imagine you won't see many bosuns with that hanging around their neck. Boatswains, as they're known. Joe says, I'm limited by the number of beads I received purchasing them from a thrift store necklace. However, when I go past my 80th birthday, I will add beads of another sort. Good for you, Joe. I'm counting on you being around. And we will meet up one of these days in person. And I'm going to give you a big hug, my friend, because I do love you. I think you know that. Yeah. So there. There's nothing spooky about the cards, except that they're so incredibly accurate. And that's a fact. The cards are incredibly accurate. I love them. They're really something. They're marvelous. Not all cards are great, and not all cards are accurate. As far as first of all, what is a deck supposed to represent? Well, it's up to you what you use. I have an Alice in Wonderland deck, which I just adore. But it's not, you see, and the company will publish that. But they didn't publish mine. They didn't like my artwork. My artwork was, what my deck was and is still around. My deck is a deck that is the culmination of years of tarot use. So, for example, the Six of Cups is pleasure. And I went ahead and used, if you look at the Crowley deck and the Six of Cups pleasure, you're looking at the perfection of the Suit of Cups. Emotional pleasure, the very best it can be. It's the epitome. It's the perfection of emotional pleasure, and in the card you have six cups, and there are flowers that are feeding those cups, but those cups are completely sucking up all the liquid out of all the energy out of those flowers, and it always occurred to me that what that meant was that if you are doing it right. If you're doing it right, then you will take every cup is being taken care of by its own plant. They aren't overflowing. They're just being taken care of. So that the truth is that real pleasure is self-sufficiency. Yeah. And one day I was flying and there was this guy sitting next to me and my kids were sitting right next to me, and I had my daughter on my lap back then when you could do that. I don't think you can do that anymore. And then there was my son and this guy who was just sitting on the edge, and he was this mean looking guy, and he looked at me and I smiled and he just went, not quite that bad. And the flight attendant said, in case of the depressurization of the cabin, do not put the mask on your kids' faces, to put it on yours. And I thought, I get it, finally. I'd never gotten that before, but I got it finally. Why? Because Growly Man was not going to take care of my kids. The real sufficiency means I have to be able to take care of them, because I can't take care of them unless I take care of myself. And that's pleasure. You can't take care of anybody else unless you take care of yourself. So in a relationship, real pleasure means taking care of yourself first. So I show that in my deck. And I actually show it as, it's not drawn beautifully because I'm not a professional artist. I do okay. But what I show is a badly drawn airplane cabin with the cups descended, and someone actually said the other day, said, is that an airplane cabin with the, yeah, I said, yes, I was thrilled that they recognized it. But I was watching Bullet with Steve McQueen for the first time when I was drawing that card, so I was completely distracted. That's not an excuse, it's just the way it was. Joe said, I love you, big hug. Yeah, we'll meet again. I think so. Joe had a newspaper route when he was a kid, and I took that route when he went on vacation to disastrous results. Disastrous. He doesn't remember, but I'll never forget. It made me appreciate him all the more, how hard he really worked. God, it was incredible. Soapbox Derby champion was Joe. A lot of things was Joe. Just, you know, a lot of respect. And a lot of respect today for his profession. I don't know if I should mention it. You can tell me if I can mention it, Joe. But I won't mention it unless you say I can. Tara, I'm looking at mine. I'm a little embarrassed now. This chair of mine is destined to dump me unless it broke. What is Tarot? What isn't it? It's not ancient. It just isn't. People love to, the mythology. You see, now mythologies are fine. Mythologies are fine unless they drag something down. I don't like the mythologies that actually are not beneficial. So, when people say, well, Tarot is ancient, came from ancient Egypt. I read a book once that said it was on the walls of the tombs. So I was a kid. So I spent all my time looking at books on ancient Egyptian art, trying to find the Hanged Man and trying to find the Devil and trying to find, you know, the Blasted Tower. Couldn't find them. And I realized eventually none of it was true. Because it's not true. Now, Aleister Crowley does say that every card is a hieroglyphic. And he's right. He's right. In that, it is, hieroglyph means sacred drawing. Sacred drawing. As hierophant means illuminator, fontus, right? Light. Illuminator of the sacred. So, hierophant, hieroglyph, right? So what we have there is this remarkable idea of these sacred drawings, but they weren't sacred to begin. Well, they actually kind of were, because Tarot came from, most of the glyphs that come from Tarot, most of the drawings, were ripped off from the church. Why? Because that way they wouldn't be persecuted, the people who drew the cards. And most of the cards were drawn by hand and painted by hand for private people, private clients, so that they could play cards and gamble. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. The cards themselves are just cards, but it's the knowledge that's within them and how much you time put into them, how much of time you put into them. So, over the years, my deck, I gave a lecture on the Crowley Tarot, and in the audience was a respected and really, I think, a pretty good guy, and that was Lon Milo Duquette, who is one of the most famous Thelemites, Thelema being the or Thelema, I'm not sure. Aleister Crowley's organization that he started, and he is the head of the whole thing. And I was on medication that made me really grumpy, so I wasn't real nice. And it's a terrible excuse, but it happens to be kind of true. And he sat through the whole thing, bless him, because it's an hour long, and I have it recorded as a practice lecture. And I haven't made it public yet. It's right here on YouTube. I maybe will one of these days. A lot of people have watched it. I'm not sure how they got the link. Like over 100 people have seen it. I'm not sure why. But I'll one of these days. So anyway. And afterward he said, I didn't understand a bit of it. I thought, oh. And you know, a couple of people said, you really need to expand on this and write a book. And I thought it would be terribly tedious. And that's when I decided to create my own deck. And so what you do is you just say, what do these cards mean to me? And that's the key for you as a reader. You say to yourself, okay, like the chariot. What is the chariot? As a matter of fact, my chariot card is a mala. Why? Well, the reason is because a mala can transport you anywhere in meditation, right?
Actually,
I bring it to me. Or whatever your mantra is, if you use a mantra or not. I always carry up, always carry one with me. Because if you happen to go to have coffee with someone and they don't show up on time and you're feeling a little ill at ease, you pull out your beads. And there you are. And you don't have to close your eyes and you don't have to meditate, but you run those beads. And I have a system of doing it three times with this, you know. Yeah. 111 go around, which I think is a very special number, which boils down to three, and it goes just perfect. And that's how I bought these with 37, which is very unusual. Usually 33, but it wasn't. And it just, you know, and I can go do those three times, and I just, and people, they kind of look at you weirdly. But the point is, who cares? It's about you. Now, if they were a Catholic rosary, people would be more okay with it. But they don't know what to make of these. And they don't know what to make of Tibetan, you know. People just don't know what to make of things. Does it matter? And if you pull out a deck of cards and start, like I've done tarot cards in public before, they freak out, you know. People just don't understand us. They don't get us at all. Boy, cast runes in public. Now, unfortunately now, runes are beginning to get a little bit of a negative glance. You may know why. We'll talk about that sometime. Joe says, I inherited the lineage from the lifetime Archbishop Patriarch, who was unique, and that he was married and had three children, knew many things about world religions, genealogy, plants, bugs, and butterflies. Yeah. Joe, let's see. Oh, he's saying a marriageable Archbishop Patriarch. Yeah. A marriageable Archbishop Patriarch in the Church of the East, founded by the Apostle Thomas, coming out of South India. That's right. Joe is a bishop in the Church of Thomas. That's what Joe is. And he is in the Book of Apostles. He lives in the Santa Cruz County now. And he is a bona fide bishop. The real deal. He sounds like a great guy, Joe. He's talking about him. And they have... Oh, it's a very liberal church, and he was very liberal, and they recognized gay and lesbians and women archbishops, which he created, and it sounds magnificent, really does, and you're part of that incredible church, and they do everything in Aramaic, so Joe knows Aramaic, but he was always very bright. Very bright. We were in French class together in junior high school. Yeah. I just have to tell you something. I knew there was something special about him in junior high. I knew it. We rode the bus to school together, rode the bus home. I mean, yeah. Anyway, it's funny how you find things out and you go, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And most of my friends, unfortunately, are gone. Are gone. Joe's here. And his path and my path, interestingly enough, although very different in many ways, are kind of similar in some ways. We both sought ourselves, and we both sought our spirituality, and I think that in many ways we have found some pretty cool stuff. Anyway, someday we'll talk about that. If I can figure out how, Joe, maybe I could have you on this show. That might be fun. But my respect for you is so huge. You have no idea, Joe. No idea. Yeah. What is Thoreau teaching? Joseph Campbell says that myths come from the organs of our bodies, that we create explanations for the world around us, the archetypes. Do you see Thoreau as being similar? Absolutely. Especially Thoreau as it evolved through Hermeticism. The Hermetic orders were being persecuted, prosecuted. Their holdings were being nationalized. They were being executed, some of them. Their stuff was being, they were being robbed. And they had to figure out a way to take these truths they had come up with and indoctrinate them, inculcate them into stories that were important, these stories that were right in front of everyone's eyes, and hide them. And that's what they did. They took these archetypes, so to speak. So, you know, the tower is the story of Saint Barbara, the Egyptian martyr, who refused to marry the pagan, and so her father cut her head off and God came and destroyed the tower. But it meant something more. It had to do with resistance. It had to do with refusing to give in regardless of what might happen. It had to do with singularity. It had to do, because the tower is destroyed afterwards, it had to do with saying, yes, you may, you may get your head chopped off. But so what? So Thoreau becomes a handbook for hanging in there and resistance. You know, my tower, my blasted tower, is a moai from Easter Island, and lightning striking around it, and there's nothing else around it there, because to me, Easter Island is absolutely a reminder and a warning of what can happen if we don't pay attention to this earth. It's an ecological disaster, because once Easter Island, Rapa Nui, was a lush Garden of Eden. It was covered with vegetation, and there were animals on it to feed everybody, but they decimated it. It became so overrun with people, and they didn't take care of the ecology at all, that they had to resort to cannibalism. And that's my warning in that card. It's a warning. That's why I drew it the way I drew it. So yes, the archetypes are very, very prevalent. The fool, a lot of people call it the fool's journey and so on and so forth. The fool is about the possibility of everything. Everything. And anything because of the innocence that's there. No one has ever said to the fool, you can't do this. The story of the fool in my deck, there. I'll grab him here. I went to go pick up my dad because I used to drive him home. Oh my God! Well, that's the magician. I would go, and he decided he didn't want to drive anymore, especially after a year in California. So here's my fool card right there. There I am. That's me at the age of about 19, maybe 20. I went to go pick him up, and he said, I'm not quite done yet. Go to the Union on campus there. You know it, Joe. And he said, we'll have a Coke. I said, okay, I'll shoot some pinball. So he said, okay, here, let me put him here. And I went downstairs, and there were a bunch of people getting ready to go streaking. And so guy said, you want to go with us? I said, well, I don't know. And suddenly there was a, here. And that changed my mind very quickly. It was, 1973. And I said, okay, let's go streaking. well, 4 hours, man. And so we went streaking around the lagoon, which was, and I'm naked, shoes on, socks on, naked, long hair, beard, young, don't know any better, squinty eyes, and just running. Oh, man, just running. I didn't know what could happen. I go around, I come back, and there's my dad. There was a friend, Mike Zingenhagen, Joe, Mike. And he waves and he does this, And right there was my dad. And I thought, oh, my God. And I just went like this, I mean, what are you going to do? Just flashed him the peace sign, and that's what I did. Flashed him the peace sign and grinned, because what else are you gonna do? I just ran inside, got dressed, didn't want to be arrested. No one was arrested. There was probably 100 of us, and it was the freest. I was kind of reborn that day. I don't know how else to. That's an archetype. Stupid, young, nothing to lose. Absolutely an archetype. And I'm so glad I did it. Rabia, hello. How are you? well, thank you, Joe. He said he respects me. Rabia, I'm very good. I'm old. But I'm very happy. Very happy to still be here. So that's an archetype. Young, foolish. Yes, you can ask a question. Of course you can. I'm not answering questions with tarot cards or anything. I'm just talking about the art. So go ahead. If you have a question. So there are definitely archetypes, like the emperor. My emperor is a lighthouse. You're a young soul. Oh, thank you. I think that's nice of you to say. I don't know how young, maybe a fool, is a lighthouse keeper, because the archetype of the emperor is that he must interface with the universe, like the old Egyptian kings had to interface with the universe. That was his job. So there is definitely a sense of archetype there, Joe. Where am I from? That's an interesting question. You mean ethnically speaking, I presume, Egypt. Yeah. Colorado is the other. So there is my emperor. Because if you look up their jobs, see? Here it is. That's their jobs were 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even at night, they're out there looking for something. Read about a lighthouse keeper's job. That's an archetype. Oh, we don't talk religion here, Rabia. We don't talk religion here. And I don't actually read the cards here. I talk about things like that. This is a different type of show, okay? But thank you for asking. Yeah. So archetypes are very much a part of anything that deals with Hermeticism. Oh, you're from Pakistan. Well, welcome to the show. I hope you'll come. You'll come and see some of the other things that we talk about. I talk about all sorts of stuff. Some days I'm just kind of in a mood and I just rant and rave. Yeah. Rant and rave. But not today. Yeah. Rabia, I grew up in America. Been here over 70 years. I'm an old man. And sometimes you can hear it in my voice. And you know what? That's my show. 55 minutes. Can you believe that? All right. Well, I think I got it. As you can tell, I believe that tarot is, it's not a religion. It's not spooky. It's not, there's nothing occult about it. What it does is it helps you to find something inside of you. And if you can help with people with it, fine. It's about you being responsible, though. We'll talk more about that as we go along, okay? All right. So, until next week, I wish you all peace, and I wish you all love, and I do love you all. You take care, okay? Bye. And Rabia, have fun. I like the pyramids, too. I haven't been there since I was 18, but, have a good time. Joe, thanks for being here. All of you, thanks for being here. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.